I'm just going to take a few minutes, and I'm going to start finishing by reading my entire list of Winnie the Pooh quotes. Somebody asked me to give my quotes again. Listen to the depth of these. Don't underestimate the value of doing nothing, of just going along, listening to all of the things you can't hear and not bothering. Don't underestimate the value of that. That sometimes I feel guilty if I ever have a minute to sit on the swing on the porch and do nothing. I don't have a lot of nothing moments in my life, but there's something in me that wants to feel guilty for not accomplishing something. Robbie stays on my case for not knowing how to relax or rest. He'll say, "You're not doing anything today, nothing." And I'll sit in my chair or on the swing for about 10 minutes, and then he'll come to find me with a glass of tea or something, and I'll be out in the yard stacking wood or, you know, measuring for the next wall to go up or something. It's so hard for me to sit still. Even when I'm hurting, even when it's impossible, I guess Mama Liz gave me that. She's she ought to be laid up in the bed somewhere, and she's out on the lawnmower going through the 25 acres of grass. So I'm not the only one that doesn't know how to relax and rest. If there comes a day when we can't be together, look inside your heart. Wesley. If there comes a day when we can't be together, look. Aww. You are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. Some people care too much. I think it's called love. Wow. If we are in each other's dreams, then we can be together all the time. See, I want to be in your dreams. I feel like y'all are in my dreams, not just the kind you have when you're asleep, but the dreams you have in life. Yeah, you're definitely you're in both dreams. But my dream in life to have a home again after mine got gone, and my dream to build a chapel and to build a studio and to help babies, and to my dream to put my music down and all that. The only reason that dream works is because y'all are in it, and I love that. I want to be more in your dreams. I want to know what you're all about. Tell me, write it to me. Tell me how I can be involved in your dream too. Rivers know this, there is no hurry. We shall get there someday.
Rivers know this.
We will get
there's no hurry.
There's no hurry. Winnie the Pooh. All these are Winnie the Pooh. Rivers know this, there is no hurry. We shall all get there someday. Now, it's like I was telling Robbie yesterday, I said, okay, maybe we should leave the motel in the middle of the night, so I can drive as many hours as I can stand the pain, and then you can swap out with me. And we're going through all this rigmarole trying to figure out how to get home a few hours earlier. To do what? So I can work? Right. So, and it's not, we don't have anywhere to go. So yep. Robbie Joe said, well, this is like the nicest hotel we've ever stayed in. Let's just spend that last night here and enjoy it. And I said, oh yeah, there's that. He's my brakes. Yeah.
That's a new one.
Oh, it's so nice. It's so nice. It's nice because there's a separate space for the girls. They have their own bunk beds, their own flat screen TV, you know, behind a wall. So we have like privacy. We have our own area and then a desk for our computer, our work. We've been working while we're here, by the way, for Drake Software. So we're working and studying. And then the bathroom actually has a tub. They quit putting tubs in hotels. And I hate that because I count on soaking in a tub at the end of each day with Epsom salt and pan away. And, you know, lavender, and I dump it full of all my stuff. And that makes the biggest difference in my physical being. And I hate to stay in a hotel that doesn't have a bathtub. That really bothers me. But this one does. It has everything you could ever want. It's really nice. And the people there are just terrific. Love is taking a few steps backwards, maybe even more, to give way to the happiness of the person you love. You can't stay in the corner of your forest waiting for people to come to you. You have to go to them sometimes. A day spent with you is my favorite day. That's what Winnie the Pooh told Piglet. I could say that about all you guys. When I'm here, these are my favorite days on the planet, right here. Life is a journey to be experienced, not a problem to be solved. Isn't that a good one? I quoted this one yesterday. These next three, these are the most profound ones, I think. Sometimes if you stand on a bridge looking over the rail, watching the river slipping slowly away beneath you, you will suddenly know everything there is to be known. That just makes me cry. It's just so deep and so profound. People say nothing is impossible, but I do nothing every day. And I this one ended up being the one that I felt like was the deepest. I was walking along looking for somebody, and then suddenly I wasn't anymore. I was walking along looking for somebody, and then suddenly I wasn't anymore. Isn't that beautiful? And then the only real reason for honey is for me to eat it. I like that one. I told you yesterday, I brought you right up to the point of me in my teaching and in my life of not being comfortable sitting on judgment seats or toilet seats or whichever one you want it to be, and coming to the place of saying in my life, the place I've come to is waking up every day and trying to figure out how to enjoy myself, because we're put here to find joy. And sometimes, admittedly, I peck on redwood trees as a woodpecker, but I kind of enjoy that. So if it's bringing joy to me, maybe it's okay. But I live my life based on the expectations that I give to myself sometimes are even too hard. But I'm trying to learn to live my life based on no one's expectations, especially God's, in quotes, as if there were one. Especially expectations laid on me by the religious community and from the Bible, and things that are expected of me because I'm an American or because I'm a Christian or because I'm whatever I am. I don't want to live by a list of expectations. The judgment seat is very uncomfortable. If you want to sit in the judgment seat, then you can't be on the front row in my life. I had to figure that out. And you have to figure that out for some folks in your life. If they're constantly judging you for what you believe and who you are and what you're doing and what you're not doing and whatnot, then they're just going to have to shift to a seat further back in the auditorium, because the people on the front of your life need to be people that accept you and celebrate you and applaud for you. When you're an actor, you know, a lot of reasons that actors reserve the front row seats, or they ask for tickets on the first few rows, is so they can put people there that they know they can look at. There's certain people, even when you're preaching, you learn this. So, you know, for years, as I was a preacher, I knew when I was saying something that was going to be hard for people to receive, I could look at certain people because I knew they got me and I knew they had an ear to hear. And if you find that face of acceptance in the crowd, it gives you the power to keep talking, to keep going, even if it's, you know, unpopular what you're saying. But you want that front row filled with people that get you and love you and celebrate you, and they're not going to judge you no matter what you say. And if somebody wants to sit in the judgment seat, that's their business, but they're not going to do it on the front row of my production, because I'm the star of my play. No one else is. No one knows the script except me. There's only one copy of the script that was given to me, and I happen to be the producer, not a Jewish grandpa in the sky. And I get to pick how I'm going to walk this play out. No one else does. No, you don't know what my role is. You don't know what I should do or shouldn't do. You're not me. You can't feel what I feel. You don't know who I am. You're you. And y'all are all secondary characters in my play. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're my supporting cast. And that's what makes it great. When they do the Oscars, they don't just give the awards to the title role people. They also, there's a truck pulling up, Mike. I don't know if they need you. But they also give out awards to supporting actresses and supporting actors. And those roles are just as important. What would Andy be without Barney and Otis and Aunt Bee and all the rest of them? I told y'all my great revelation about the Andy Griffith Show. I've watched it for years and years and years. I still call it Griffin instead of Griffith, but I have great revelation. I've told y'all about it, I guess. I don't know. On that show, you'll notice that Andy is single. Barney, single. Mary Lou, single. Aunt Bee, single. Opie, single. Goober, single. Gomer, single. The only married person on the show is Otis, the drunk, and he has to stay drunk to put up with her. It's the only one on the show that admits married. So that, those of you who are single, just a little word to you. If you stay single, you may not drive anybody to drink. I just want to... They're all single except the drunk. I don't, that's the truth, though. Now, if you want to sit on the mercy seat, you're welcome in my life on the front row, the second row. If you got some mercy in you, because I need some mercy. Y'all remember the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant? Did you ever think about, I still like to look for types and shadows, because I preached for so many years. I can't not find a scripture that goes with everything, because I know so much scripture. And I'll do the same thing with Catcher in the Rye or with Lonesome Dove or whatever book I'm reading. Robbie's in the middle of a book. What's the name of the book you're reading? You're in the second one now of a series.
His Dark Materials,
Subtle Knife? Yep, sounds wicked, doesn't it? Yeah. Subtle, I don't know if that's on the approved Christian list. Yeah. The Subtle Knife, it's about witches and the Salem trials and all kinds of interesting stuff. It's about church too. But he keeps getting these amazing revelations and sharing them with me and asking, and he's asking me questions about like what is considered the original sin, because they're using a lot of that in their book, terms that he's not familiar with, thank goodness. He wasn't stuck in church his whole life. He got to enjoy his Sundays when he was growing up.
I didn't know what original sin was until 2 days ago.
And isn't that
beautiful? You can forget it.
Now you can forget it. I'm sorry I told you. And so isn't that wonderful? He didn't know what original sin was, because that was pounded into me at 5 years old and I was told I was part of it. But the mercy seat, I can't help but see these types and shadows. And the mercy seat, if you remember, is on the Ark of the Covenant. And they put three things inside the Ark of the Covenant that were hidden forever, never to be opened again. What was it that was in there? Who can remember from church world what any of those things were? The tablets of commandment, the Aaron's rod that budded, and a pot of manna were the three things that were in there. Now, I was thinking about that the other day because I made the statement out loud to myself. I said, I want, you don't get prizes for knowing the Bible. You, okay, y'all get a star by their name. Put a star by their name. A black star. A black star. No, it's good. It's good. And I think it's good to be able to relate those things to some truths. So what's the truth here? If you have mercy in your life, if you want to sit on the mercy seat, there's three things that I want you to hide, sit on them, fart on them if you need to, but don't bring them out ever again. What are those three things? The law of God, provision from God, and miracles from God. That's the three things they hid in that ark. The law of God, the commandments, don't bring me no law of God. If you're going to sit in the mercy seat, you can't involve a law from a God. I don't want to hear it. If you're going to sit on the mercy seat, don't start telling me about miracles, because no, that's, you don't pray to a man in the sky and ask for miracles and he's going to give you one while he ignores the neighbors because you had more faith. That's bullshit. Don't even go there. And supernatural provision coming from God. Didn't happen, not going to happen. Work. If you want to eat or make the right connections, even Jesus had enough sense. He said, make of yourself friends of who are rich, because in that will take care of you. See, that's why I like some of y'all. You have money. So even Jesus knew that. He had rich friends. But those things are all hidden in the Ark of the Covenant, never to be seen again. I don't want to see the law of God again. When somebody says to me, the Bible says, that's the end of our conversation. And I'll hang up if they're on the phone. I'll cut them off if they're on the computer. Or if I'm talking with them, I'll say, hey, I don't care what the Bible says. If it's the kind of conversation where they're fixing to tell me a verse against me, you know, if we're in that, now I do care what the Bible says if we're discussing it. But if somebody's using the Bible to give a law against my life or whatnot, never mind. I don't want to hear you. So those things are hidden. Keep them hidden. Because if you're going to sit on a mercy seat in somebody's life and give mercy to people, then you can't have a law from a God. You know, because that's the judgment seat. That's when it becomes a judgment seat. So I've discovered how to live my life in the present, and I find joy and peace while being light, life, and love every single day. Do I ever go outside that? Mm-hmm. I choose, you wouldn't even believe this, but I choose to argue sometimes with somebody as sweet as Robbie Joe. Sometimes I'll intentionally agitate him just to see if he'll go off. And here's the bit surprising part. He does go off sometimes. But in my discoveries, I have discovered seven S's that are really getting me through life. My ship don't sink, as Mike says. But I've discovered seven S's that I'm going to share with you, which can change your life. This is my Jerry Savelle-like seven steps to whatever. Here we go. Number one is sandwich or sustenance. You can, if you don't want to use the word sandwich, eating is the most important thing that you're going to do in your life. Figure out how to eat. Eat what you want. Eat what you enjoy. Eat what you love. Eat for health reasons, that's fine. If you're a diabetic, don't eat too much sugar. If you're trying to be a Hollywood model, you probably don't want to eat too much fried stuff. But the sandwich, if you can figure out and put this first in your life, eating, should be the first important, amazing thing in your life, because it's the greatest thing we do. We can do it when we're babies. We can do it when we're 100 years old. It's the greatest pleasure and enjoyment on the planet, eating. We get to do it several times a day. We get to experience sweet and sour and hot. And do you know that there's 10,000 taste buds inside the mouth, on the tongue, and on the roof of the mouth, and even the gums have taste buds, so that you can taste all these amazing flavors. Eating is that it's very, and when people start talking about fasting, I don't use the F word very much, but when I use the F word, it's usually in conjunction with the word fasting, because that's how I feel about fasting. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to quit eating food, because food's the greatest thing on the planet. Whatever form created us, whether it was love or the universe or a God somewhere in the sky, had enough sense to cause us to depend on food to live and to enjoy food. That's why we have 10,000 taste buds. Otherwise, it could all taste like packing peanuts, and we could just eat it just to sustain life. But we get to experience rutabaga cobbler, or whatever that was. Rhubarb, not rutabaga. Rhubarb pie. Okay, I said rutabaga cobbler, which was so sour, it made you do this, and so sweet at the same time. It was just like some people I know. It was like your taste buds just went crazy because it was this amazing, sweet, crusty dish and it also had this, woo, this bite to it, like a Sour Patch Kid kind of a thing. Loved it. It was an amazing thing. So anyway, figure out the best way for you to fully experience and enjoy food without killing yourself. Don't be on 600 Pound Life. I watched that. It's one of my great shows I watch, 600 Pound Life. The Dr. Pimple Popper is my new great show that Robbie says, I would never watch that. And I catch him over in the kitchen looking around at, while she's popping on one of those big old pimples, that stuff's coming up out of us. It's so satisfying. Oh, it's awesome. So Dr. Pimple Popper, 600 Pound Life. Find a way not to kill yourself eating. Don't eat too much. You can die early if you eat too much. You know that. It can mess up your arteries or this and that. But enjoy your food. Chew it. Let it sit in your mouth a while. Don't wash it down with tea. Chew your food and enjoy your food and be grateful for your food. I don't care if you thank Zeus for it or God or the cook, or just be grateful for food, because a sandwich is the greatest thing on this planet. You need to appreciate that S more than anything else in my mind. You might have a different order of these things. And I was making this order according to Adam's life. Food's it for him. Mm-hmm. He loves me. I mean, he loves his daddy. But when he wakes up in the morning, daddy can go to hell. Put the bottle in my mouth now. That's his attitude. At 4 a.m, 5 a.m, as soon as his eyes open, because he wants something in his mouth to eat, because it's the greatest thing in his world. He lives for the next bottle. And now baby food and cereal, and I sneak him whipped different tastes and ice cream. I can't tell you all the stuff I sneak him because Robbie's sitting right over there. But he loves avocados. But food, this sandwich is great. The second one is sleep.
Oh, yeah. I like sleep.
These S's, if you get these in order, you can have a happy life. Sleep, sleep, sleep. Then I'm fishing to tell some of y'all something that you need to know. The most expensive thing in your home needs to be your mattress. I don't care what you've got in there, refrigerators, dishwashers, couches, the most expensive thing in your home. If you've got a sorry mattress, you don't love yourself like you need to. Get rid of that sorry mattress today. Spend $2,000 if you have to, but get you a mattress. Make your bedroom a sanctuary and a playhouse if you go that way. But make it a sanctuary of sleep. Get that Posturepedic firm with a pillow top and gel and whatever pillow. I've got the most ridiculous pillow in the world. It's 10 feet long. It's in the shape of a horseshoe. It's this big around. It goes up one side of me and around the back and down the other side of me. I sleep in a fetal position. It goes between my knees, between my ankles. My head's on it. My arm is under it. The back of it is stuffed up against my back to prop me up that way. I mean, it is the pillow of pillows. It is the king of pillows and the lord of pillows. And I worship my pillow. I love my pillow. The most expensive thing in your house needs to be your mattress, because sleep is so important for you to get rest, for you to regenerate at night. That's when your body heals while you're asleep. It's when you recharge your batteries. If the worst problem in the world can be going on in your life, And the first thing I tell people is go to bed, knock yourself out if you have to, Jack Daniels, Ambien, whatever it takes, go to sleep. And when you wake up, this won't look as bad as it does right now. Because everything looks better with a good night's sleep. With a little rest, everything is more, it's easier to handle things. So make your bed your sanctuary. So we have sandwich. You want to be happy? Get your sandwiches straightened out. Get your sleep and quit trying to be skinny. Enjoy yourself. Everybody's not supposed to weigh 120. Everybody's not supposed to. It doesn't matter. Love yourself and enjoy yourself and know that you're beautiful. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares if you have a love handle. Nobody even notices that stuff but you in the mirror and occasionally your spouse. Sandwich, sleep, three. I'm not going to say shit because I don't say that out loud, but poop. Oh, I said it. That's the third S, though. Get it right. It doesn't need to be too hard. It doesn't need to be too soft. It needs to come regular, but not too often. It needs to be spaced out properly. If you have to take Metamucil, take it. If you have to eat bananas and cheese, eat it. Regulate your poop. Work on both ends. You got a hole in each end. You got a mouth up here and a butthole at the bottom. Make sure your teeth can still chew. Make sure you can get the food in properly because it's going to come out the other end. And keep that other end in good shape. If you got hemorrhoids, work on them. Whatever you have to do, get it to where you can take a good SHIT because you need to be able to do that. It's a part of life. It's getting rid of the stuff that you don't need. You have to do that in the real life. Get rid of the SHIT. Just get rid of it in your barn, in your basement, in your closet. Get rid of it. You don't need it. It's this extra stuff. Hey, baby. Hey, my little man. Hey, buddy. That's the sweetest thing in the whole world right there. Y'all are in the presence of the sweetest thing in the entire world. Not you, the baby. The baby. And it's all of us. We're all right there. So there's number three. It's your third S. Adjust your diet. Take your medicine. Do whatever you know, and know that it stinks. And it's okay that it stinks. Everybody stinks. We've been over that this week. It all stinks. Third S. Shit. Number four, sharing. Adam's got to the place where he likes to share with me. You know what he shares with me? Kisses. Yeah. I'll be holding him like this and he'll open his mouth and just come in and plant one on me. He likes to share smiles. He likes to share cuddles. Hey, buddy. It's what he has. Such as I have, give I thee. What can you give? What is it that you want to share with the other people in your world? Share. If you have it and they need it, you don't have to ask God if you need to give it to him. Give it to him. Whether it's money or love or a second coat. Jesus said, if you got two coats and your brother needs one, give him your coat. You don't have to be a brilliant mind to figure those kind of things out. But sharing is such an important S in your life, and you need to learn how to share. And everybody has equal amounts to share. We don't all have the same amount of money to share. We don't all have the same amount of talent to share. We don't all have the same amount of love to give. Some people are uncomfortable giving hugs, and some people are the best hug givers in the world. We don't all have good advice to give, but some do, and advice is worth more than gold. If you can give somebody the right counsel and the right advice, but whatever it is you do have, don't forget to share it. If you want to have joy in your life, then eat a good sandwich every day. Figure out how to eat. Figure out how to sleep. Figure out how to shit. Figure out how to share. I mean, get it right. Get you a stool. Y'all do know that the correct posture for pooping is not a toilet. It's with your feet squatting, a squatty potty. Getting your feet up on something straightens out that pipe that the shit comes down and it comes out easier, and you probably won't get hemorrhoids if you'll try this. And you're thinking, I could never do that. It's uncomfortable. At the first, it's like, well, this doesn't feel right. Get you a phone book and start off there. But ideally, your feet need to be from 6 to 8 inches off the ground when you're sitting on the toilet. Now, that's a medically known fact. Some people that have trouble pooping and end up with hemorrhoids and stuff, if they'll make that one adjustment in their poop cycle, if you go in my bathroom, I've got a stool sitting right over here, like a footstool for the toilet. You just pull it around front, put your feet up on it. It looks kind of ridiculous, and you feel kind of... It also gets your book closer to your eyes. Poop. Figure out how to do it. Sharing is number four. Number five is success. In order to have success in life, you need to have goals. And you need to meet them. Set goals, meet the goals. Set goals, meet the goals. Set goals. That's how you find success. You know what how he finds success? Rolling over. Man, he's great at it too. He's laying there on his belly and he gets the notion and he starts rocking and he gets one leg and he starts putting his leg back and he finally catches that foot on something and he pushes a little bit and he gets excited and he, woo! here we go. And he finally rolls over and he lands there and he's like, ah, he knows success. He knows what it's like to set a goal, work towards it, and the feeling that comes when you have succeeded at cutting the grass, at rolling over, at growing a garden, at building a business, at mending a relationship, at whatever. But no success. If you want to be fulfilled in life, no success. Set goals every day. Don't just watch Lifetime Movie Network all the time. If you enjoy that, watch it sometimes, especially at Christmas. Robbie won't watch it with me, but I like those Christmas Lifetime movies. They're all so corny, predictable. I know what's going to happen. She's always going to meet the guy she falls for who is unlikely in the beginning, and there's always a kid involved. She's got a kid, or he does, or somebody does, and the orphans, and it snows, and they get presents. So it's beautiful. But don't always watch Lifetime Movie Networks. Set you some goals and meet the goals. I know somebody that I helped so much, and she wrote to me on Facebook, and she says, you have changed my life. And she was pretty much a hoarder, and she had gotten out of control with her hoarding. And no, I'm not talking about any of y'all in this room, although some of you may be close. I'm just saying, some of you are getting close. No, I'm kidding. Because we got so much stuff. I'm close. I have a barn, a 24 by 36 barn you can no longer walk in. So Robbie says, I'm this close to being a hoarder. But it's good stuff that somebody's going to need at some point. For some reason, everybody that's moving calls me and says, we're moving. We don't need a lot of stuff. Come get it. And I go get it and park it in my barn. But then inevitably, somebody's house will burn and we can furnish their house. And somebody will move and they'll need an extra bed and we'll have it. And they know to call us and say, do y'all have a washing machine? I'll say, we have three. You want avocado? Do you want gold? Or do you want white with a little rust? So we're like a storehouse for stuff. And that's okay. But what am I even talking about? Sharing. We got through success. Hoarding. Oh, the lady was telling me how much I had helped her because I told her she was just, for years, she'd sat in the middle of her hoarder's mess. And I said, baby steps. This is so simple. Pick the smallest bathroom in your house and let's get it cleaned out. Tell me what it's like. So she told me. I said, well, okay, well, you don't need a stack of magazines against the wall. And they're outdated anyway, so let's throw those away. And I didn't even see it. I'm just doing this through Facebook counseling. And I said, so I helped her work on her bathroom until that bathroom was immaculate, spotless. She got one room done. She saw success. She knew what success felt like. So she tackled her smallest bedroom. And it took her 8 months to clean the house. But she got through every room one step at a time. I just encouraged her to succeed. Set goals that are attainable for you and meet those goals. And that feeling of success, completion, victory. Wow, I did it. I wrote the song. I wrote one chapter in my book. I got one chapter under my belt. I made that phone call I've been dreading. I cleaned out the refrigerator. I finally got the knots off the dog's butt. This is awesome. Set a goal, meet the goal. That's success. You need success in your life. Not the kind Robert Tilton sold you, but you need the kind of success that comes from you setting goals and you meeting those goals. For you, it might be not worrying. It might be exercising. It might be a way to make money. Have goals, reach them. Number six, and this is six on my list of seven, is sex. I think sex is important. It's not an embarrassing topic. I don't think you should be embarrassed by sex. Sex is something that is part of life. The reason that it feels good to have sex is because our bodies are created to feel good, and that's one way we feel good. It's just like eating a big old sandwich or taking a shit or getting a good night's sleep. It's something that's necessary for you. I strongly encourage you to have sex often. If nobody will have sex with you, have it with yourself. It's possible, it's probable, it's fun. You're your best sex partner anyway. You know what you like way better than anybody else does. And this shouldn't be embarrassing to any of you. If you don't know how to have sex by yourself, write me privately. I'll give you some instructions because it is possible. It often involves baby oil, lotion, dildos. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff we can come up with. None of that's embarrassing to me, and it shouldn't be to you. It used to be. I grew up in a house that if two dogs were screwing in the front yard, my mother closed all the blinds, spanked us for looking, and threw boiling water on the dogs to get them to disconnect so we wouldn't have to see sex. She had some real weird sexual hangups because she had been raped as a child or as a young woman, and she had a lot of issues. She thought sex was dirty. She thought sex was a horrible, dirty, nasty, perverted thing. And with that kind of mindset about sex and growing up in that kind of household, nobody ever discussed birds and bees with me. I learned off the bathroom wall, wherever I could. Nobody ever sat down and discussed that with us. But that ought to be a discussion you have with kids, just like you would teach them how to eat. At some point in time, they need to be of age before you talk about that kind of stuff. Oh, I forgot my kids are in the room, aren't they? They're probably not listening. Oh, my God. But that's not something to be embarrassed about. And it's something that your body needs. There's endorphins that are released when you have sex that you aren't going to be released any other way. And some folks simply don't love themselves enough to date themselves. And the issues come from that. Love yourself. You are beautiful. Your body parts are beautiful. And it feels good to have sex. So that's your sixth S. I'm not going to elaborate anymore. It's something you need to discover or rediscover. And it's okay. There's ways to, whether you're alone or with somebody, and if you've gone through issues and you're no longer having sex with the person you used to have sex with, talk about it. Just sit down and say, we used to have sex, now we don't. Let's figure out why. And maybe we're not physically able to do that trapeze thing anymore, so we took that thing off the bedroom ceiling. But maybe, you know, we could still do this, or maybe we could still do that. Because I think it's important. I do. And if you're by yourself, there's lots of ways that you can find great pleasure. And if you need some ideas, we have the good old internet now, which is better. You don't have to hide magazines or anything. You have to hide your history, which I don't know exactly how to do, apparently, because Robbie keeps finding it. But but he's never offended by it. He just says, let's try that. And number seven on my list, I'm going to move on because some of y'all are embarrassed. Number seven on my list is spirituality. And it's the very last thing on my list, because I don't believe in seeking spirituality first. I think that comes naturally in all these other areas. If you sleep right and shit right and eat sandwiches right and share right and have set goals and meet them and find success right and have sex right, then I think right in the middle of all that, you have these spiritual revelations that never quit. And that's where you'll find spirit is life. There's no spiritual movement that you have to be part of. There's no spiritual level that you need to get to. That's just the life that is in you manifesting. It's like a flower blooming. True spirituality is just a flower blooming. That's spirituality. Something inside the plant begins to bud and blossom and bloom, and everything in that plant and the entire purpose of the plant is manifest in and through that beautiful flower. That's our spirituality. And it manifests in every area of our lives all the time. If we get these other areas straight, I don't believe in putting spirituality first. If Bill Gates and Franklin Graham both went to a third world country and they both set up lines, and Bill Gates was giving out 5-gallon buckets of food and Franklin Graham was giving out King James versions of the Bible, which line would you want to be in? Which line would you, you know, what would Jesus do? Even Jesus, in that sense, what would he do? His whole ministry was feeding people and healing people. He didn't go around handing out Bibles. In fact, most of the time that he spoke about the Bible, he'd say, Moses said this and so, but I say, follow your heart. Don't follow the Bible, follow your heart. And that's basically the ministry of Jesus. He quoted the scripture once or twice and didn't correct it, but he usually quoted it to correct it and say, that's not how you do it. You do it by following your heart. Moses said, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I say, love your neighbors. He made an improvement on the Bible. So leave your spirituality alone. Do all the rest of it. It'll come to you. Do what brings you joy. Don't hurt others. Repeat. Do what brings you joy. Don't hurt others. Repeat. This is how to live life. Yeah. Do what brings you joy. Don't hurt others. Repeat. Get the S's right and you'll have a great life. Sandwich, sleep, shit, sharing, success, sex, and spirituality. And you'll have a complete, wonderful, beautiful, amazing life. That's the end of my part. Anne says, complaining about the world perpetuates the illusion of a separate me. Do nothing. Let life live in me. Love, Anne. Isn't that beautiful? Complaining about the world perpetuates the illusion of a separate me. Do nothing. Let life live in me. Love, Ann. Beautiful. I like that. From someone in the room here who has chosen to be anonymous. I think it might be starting to sink in, here a little and there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. I love Isaiah. The poop and the mind are certainly tied together. We've been so connected to both, shutting it all down and getting off of the spinning hamster wheel is key. becoming still and knowing that I am the real I. I am not who I have thought I am. Revelation is coming from many sources. They all tie together. The rubber hits the road when the shit hits the fan. It's an oscillating fan moving in every direction, isn't it? And there is a lot of flying around. Now the song I'll Fly Away is taking on a whole new meaning. Which I do you really think that song is talking about? Oh, I love it. Which I'll Fly Away. If we could let I fly away, we'd be in good shape, wouldn't we? How's it going to fly away? Like the shit hits the fan and flies in every direction. So let I fly away. Man, I like that. Does take on a whole new meaning. Thank you. That's perfect. And Mama Liz said, you are here to live in perfect joy and comfort and know unconditional love. There you go. Live in you like your world. It is an illusion. Where you are is safe. Only in your mind you have made a mistake. Running in joy never ends. The energy of joy sustains you. Unconditional love. Nothing is ever out of order. Light, love, and life. Your mind is always speaking to you. Silence can stop your mind. I loved what Dana said about letting the silence get so loud that it drowns out the mind. Loud silence. Isn't that a great thing to think about? Let the silence get louder. The mind can only understand right and wrong. Follow your heart. Live fully every second. Enjoy your life. Do what you enjoy and don't harm anybody. Help others enjoy themselves. Only love and kindness. Man, she takes good notes. I'm hearing Mike in here. I'm hearing me in here. I'm hearing Dana in here. And I'm hearing her in here. Unconditional love, kindness always. Hug more, be grateful, shine bright, live simply, sing loudly, have peace, dream big, be happy, live in joy. Love you, Liz. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. I'm keeping that forever. All right. Do we need to, get this on the mic for the people?
Why don't you sit right next to me?
Come sit right here. Yeah. Whoever wants to come up and sit.
It won't take very long. You don't have to move it.
I will pick it up here.
Yeah, yeah. Just want to share three little things that I got from the river. I haven't been able to for a long time, but I used to sit by the river and take my lawn chair and my notepad and stuff. And 90% of anything I've ever written and shared on Facebook was written at the river.
Oh.
So, I mean, even in the natural, use the natural helps just let us relax and flow, you know, and live with the flow. There was another time that I was standing there and I really wasn't total upset about or anything or anything else. But I was standing over the railing, like you said earlier, and just looking over. And tears just started flowing. Just, I had no control over it. I wasn't forcing it. It just started flowing. And I don't, there was release there, you know? And I can't even tell you exactly what, but I know there was more peace within than what there was before that started. Then there was another time I was walking and just seeing these beautiful flowers, you know, and just enjoying the walk. And I heard within myself, just stop and turn around. And when I turned around, it was like there was twice as many flowers as what there had been when I was walking forward. So I was hearing, sometimes you just need to stop and look in other directions. You can't just keep looking straight ahead of you. You know that it just flows. Something
That's
else
good.
I am learning
really
too.
Good.
Is evidently I do need the sex thing because this is the second time I've heard it from two different people
Oh,
lately,
a confirmation. So. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. Sally, go get you some.
Gotta buy that toy first.
That's beautiful. I'm loving this whole river thing too. That I keep hearing that from so many sources about the river and the river being life. You can't control a river. It just is. It just floats. And that flower thing, you always have at least twice the blessings you realize you have. If you'll stop and look,
yes.
There's always way more than you think.
Exactly.
Yes. Somebody else, come sit by me. Y'all scared to sit by me?
No, I'm not scared to sit by you.
Sally come up and sit by me and said she needed to have sex. I don't know. I usually have that effect. I have that effect, but it's usually at bars.
We never did do that naked thing in the pond.
Not yet. It's hot today, though. It's hot out there. Anybody else have anything you want to come up and say, or I'll come to you if you want me to. We good? Mike's going to close this out if nobody has anything to say. Come up here. Please come up here. Here.
Oh. So.
She wants sex. So
we Woo!
Well.
Let's do it.
So, I like the part of if you're in my dreams, I'm always with you. That touched me a lot. Because I don't remember my dreams much, but, you know, it's like when I do, I have to remember, even if it's hard, a hard dream, that there is, there's love there. There's a message of some kind. So this is sort of what I kind of get out of all of this coming together is I am loved regardless of all the stuff that we've heard. And no matter what happens, I'll continue to love.
Yes.
That just has to be my life, and it has to be what is a driving force through everything. So I appreciate you. Mm. Winnie the Pooh spoke to me. Every little
good?
Single thing. It's
too.
Like walking along, and all of a sudden you're there. And that
there it is. There it is.
I have to just remember in my brain fog that that's what it is.
And the way that you love, you have the most unique way of loving that I've ever seen. In giving of yourself, in meeting needs, in knowing what people need before they even need it and getting there. I've never seen anybody do as good as you. So thank you for
anyway,
that. I love how your love manifests.
Love, how to love. Keep loving.
Keep loving no matter what. I love it.
Love.
And I love you. Anybody else? Mikey, you going to come close this out? I'll let you talk about this poopy picture up here.
I don't want to. I've shared enough, and I don't want to get into anything, but I will tell you what's happening with other people a little bit, and I'm going to read it was longer than this, so I went in and edited it a little bit just to cut it down so you can get the point of what she wanted to share. But you know what happened? My mind thought people wouldn't like the message when I said the word poop too much. Now I'm calming it down today because there's kids here, right? But everybody loosened up.
Yeah.
It was just had the opposite effect.
Yep.
People could feel relaxed. And that's what Kim said. That was the heart of it, is everybody loosened up and relaxed because our mind is what makes us tight.
Yeah.
All the judgment everywhere in the world comes from your mind. Now, when I say that to you, you feel judged, but you just have to realize you're not your mind. That's not you, and that was the lie we talked about Friday night. When your feet hit the ground, realize you're not your mind and don't defend it. You know, there's no reason to defend your mind that's producing all your suffering. And that's what I think's been coming out of this. And so I got this long thing. I'm going to abbreviate it. Dear Poopy Pants. So I got a long name now. It's almost Latin, it sounds like. Dear Poopy Pants Archangel Mike, I absolutely love, love, love the live stream. I could watch so far of the Poopy Conference. It's very hard to do the time thing for me, especially living in Melbourne with the time difference. I never heard rectal feedback Robert Rutherford before. Rectal feedback Robert Rutherford.
Oh my gosh.
You were all my twins in so many ways. So there's the connection that come from all of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're all my twins in so many ways. I was lying in bed till 2 a.m. listening live in Australia. My partner, Banana Daddy George of the jungle, also loved the parts he got to see. He's also so full of crap from all the vegan food he eats. You wouldn't believe how many of the stories you all told were my stories. I totally get the Hong Kong thingy. I had some wild things like that happen where the world just disappeared completely. Now, what is the world?
Our minds project. projection.
Are your mind's projection. Yeah. That's all it is. Okay? Jesus said all the time, I'm going to leave the world and return. All the time. Leave your world of judgment. And when you realize your poop don't stink, that's how you leave the world. Or when you realize your poop stinks, you realize you're leaving the world. Leave it behind. It's so, the thing that spoke to me the most, and I'll say that when I finish reading this. She went the first time, about 35 years old, lightning and thunder came into my room with giant footsteps. Then a bolt of lightning went through my head, and the pure blessed thing, he happened for me for the first time. Now she's sort of referring, I think, Billy now. And then comparing my story in Hong Kong when the buildings became invisible, you know. And she says, this was one of the many shifts. So many times where the world wasn't there, and I looked at the clock and time disappeared. So what's that saying is, this concept we have of the world is what creates passing time.
Yeah.
See, because what does it do? We stop and we begin to judge. And it doesn't matter what it is, but that's what she's saying happened. You know, these things are hard to put into words. I especially resonated with the poop thing from the beginning of your talk. So that's really encouraging. You know, just that she felt honest enough to open up. My gut hurt from laughing so hard. Just wanted to share this with you. Keep keeping on, because you sure made my day. Your forever eternal friend, Kim, alias Pure Bliss. I found this poop thesaurus for you and all your crappy Facebook friends. So she sent me a link to a poopy thesaurus. So,
who's that, Kim?
Kim Marie.
Oh, yeah, Kim, yeah.
She's Australia. She's, yeah. Yeah. What I do with everybody that connects with me that's on the long email list is I really try to get them on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I said, you don't have to like Facebook, just get on there and get connected with some of these friends so you can be connected a little bit, right? And so that's what I try to do. Anyways, the thing out of the whole weekend that meant the most to me was when we started talking about how we're creating stress and judgment by our stress and judgment of everything. Yeah. So whatever it is you don't like in your world, you're creating that energy. If you're running around talking about this evil thing or that evil thing, you're creating it. You're just as bad as the thing you're judging. That's what you've got to realize, where the poop stinks, okay? Whatever it is, I don't care what cause it is. It might be a good cause. It might be save the worms or save the whales. But you're running around so dramatically, throwing up on everybody, you know, and it creates tension and stress. That person might not give a rip about that. But it's our cause. You know, you got to give up your causes. There isn't any cause out there any more important than loving the person you're with. If you start with that and you're not bringing stress into the home, or judgment into the home, by whatever it is, it isn't worth it. And it's not where life is at all. There's nothing out there that needs to be saved except your world. You know, and when that ends, what is there? There's peace. There's joy. There's love. There's nothing that needs to be saved. No one needs to be saved. These guys right now have the perfect family. If another baby comes along, that's fine. But there isn't 100 babies that need saved. There's these 3 babies that need saved, and they got saved.
Remind me of that.
And if there's some more coming, fine. But well, how can you enjoy the moment if you're running around and you never got enough, you know? How can you love the ones you're with, you know? Let's play that rock song, you know, love the one you're with, right? Okay, whatever it is. Anyway, that's what really, that was the most profound thing when I was preparing that spoke to me. Because people will get you all upset. You know, I told you about these friends, you know, complaining about this thing. And they just determined I was evil because I wouldn't join them. And they were totally upset because I didn't agree with them. And it wasn't about that I didn't think it, that I thought it was good. I didn't think it was good. But it's just not in my world, you know. So I'm not going to go out and create something that ain't there. And I think that's where we live outside of ourselves, you know. We just get way out there in the future with things, and you just don't have peace, you know. And you don't, to me, it's just, why be unkind? You know, I'm not going to get hooked with something so much that I start being unkind, you know, about stuff. And I really learned to live that way most of the time. And the gauge is when I come home, you know. How is the relationship with Diane and I? How are we doing together? And that's where you find out what's really going on. With you, it's you and Robbie Joel. You know, if you guys are loving and enjoying each other and there's peace, then that will spread.
Yes.
And it'll get out to the other people that you need to come in contact with. So I love the fact I could go into a house that's burning down and not be upset and screaming because the house is burning down and help somebody. You know, so if you have that kind of stability in your life, that's when you're a help. And it's, to me, that's peace. You know, I've got to carry that around with you all the time. It's happened several times with me. I ran into an accident. All I had was a bottle of lavender. And the first thing the guy said was I was a doctor. You know, I denied it because I didn't want to get in trouble with the police that were on their way. But it helped. I was just there to help, do whatever I could. You know, you can only do what you can do. Can't do anything more than that. And it's really, really peaceful to live in that place, you know.
Always
be kind. Yep. There's no reason not to be. It's not try to be kind. It's why would you want to be unkind? That's what you ask yourself. And that's it anyway. So we're going to fix you. Hopefully you'll have the best steak you've ever had in your life here in a little bit.
Yes.
Now, I'm not kidding. That's the one, I'm not a cook, but that's the one thing I know how to do is barbecue a steak. And I developed it being a bachelor all these years. I call it the Rocky Mountain barbecue steak, okay? So you're going to have a Rocky Mountain barbecue steak today. And those of you who are a little more concerned, we'll tame it down, but it's not, you'll love it, okay? Everybody will love it, I guarantee you. So it ain't nothing crazy, so. I'm going to start fixing those for you, and here we go.
Yay.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.